Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
That's very lackluster. Hey. Oh, I'm good. I've been watching young men play golf all day.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, first spring tournament for the Westminster College Griffins down here in San Diego. So nice. You'd think you'd come down to San Diego and get like warm weather, but mid-50s is what we got. It may get to like 60.
Yeah, it's warmish.
Yes, this is true. But yeah, how's it going up there? I think it's still cold. I tried not to talk to my wife about the weather when I'm somewhere warm.
Yeah, it was never a friendly move, but it's fine. It's a little bit, it was 41 degrees. I mean, it's not like break out the golf clubs weather, but it was warmer than usual, which is nice. So
a couple places. I think I got notification that Stonebridge opened over the weekend for walking only. So there is some golf somewhere, but I don't know. It's probably, well, not too far away anyway. Pending snow, I guess. But, let's get to it. Let's get into the WM Phoenix Open.
Which everyone mistakenly calls
the wasted. The wasted management. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
The waste management. I think like a lot of people still just call it that. Even though they changed it last year for the simple fact that they didn't. But I don't know why, but I think the company did change their name to WM. So, I mean, there is a valid reason for it, but it's still.
But they've always been waste management. So it's like, I don't know. Waste of a golf tournament? Is that a better description?
We didn't even talk about who won. You're just jumping right into the get off my lawn take.
Yeah, just angry old man. Now, okay, let's talk Scotty.
Let's talk Scotty, and then we'll go into our opinions of it. I think they may be conflicting, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But no, Scotty Scheffler wins back-to-back WM Phoenix Open championships. Whatever. He wins. 2 years in a row to claim back the world number one spot, which I don't get. I don't know. The world golf ranking is now becoming more and more of a joke, considering 2 weeks ago, if John Rahm would have won, he would have taken over number one. But now, and John Rahm didn't play last week, but played good this week. Well, yeah, he played good. He was top five. But he's, I don't know. So it's not like he played bad, but now he can't take over the world number one because he didn't win 2 weeks ago. Just doesn't make sense.
It's complicated math. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. That's what they keep telling me.
Yeah.
But why did Scotty win?
You're not
a fan of Scotty's swing from our earlier discussions.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a purist. I feel like there is some technicalities to the swing that I love and adore, and he seems to like go against all convention. Now, it doesn't mean it's not good. I mean, he's obviously great. He's winning, but it's hard to watch. I'm gonna be honest. It's the result's great. But, you know, if I were going to judge his game, even on the skill set of what he displayed, like his putting is leaps and bounds ahead of his ball striking. So that's my personal opinion.
Your take. It's controlled chaos.
Pretty much.
But if you look at the actual, and this is where, like I said, I don't necessarily say that it's like the easiest thing to watch because there's a lot going on, especially with the feet and lower body. But when you said earlier, when we were talking, that you thought his swing was mechanically flawed, I don't necessarily think that is, because when you actually watch his swing and slow it down, he actually gets into really good positions with
his, yeah,
where the handle is and where the hands are and a lot of things like that. And you obviously can't hit the ball great if you're not in those positions, but I think there's right. The movement distracts from that a little bit.
Yeah, I would have to agree for sure. I mean, obviously he's great, right? But man, his putting was phenomenal. It was just so good. He did hit some close shots, but he made them. And then when he was kind of okay, he made those too. So he was just, and
his short game is just really good. He's really good with a wedge most of the time around the greens.
Yeah.
And like I said, when he goes off, I mean, most of the time he's a really good putter, which is, you know, one of the reasons why he is at the top of the world rankings. But you saw when he had a little fall off with his putter, he kind of like dipped back, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. And speaking, because I was just about to bring up Spieth and kind of where one of the reasons he fell off was because his putter went a little off.
Yeah, a little cold. And it
went off. Like I saw him miss some putts that you're like, come on, bro, you're a PGA Tour golfer. Why are you missing?
Yeah.
He is the only. And it seems there'll be a lot more. Like I said, he did this every once in a while back when he was on the streak. But I saw him miss some in yesterday's round. And like I said, I was watching. Our guys were doing a practice round at the same time. So it wasn't like fully committed to watching, but I saw him miss some like super short putts. Like 17, he stuffs it to like 2 feet.
Yeah.
And misses. And he may have lipped, but I want to say that it was like not even touching, didn't even touch the hole from 2 feet. And you're just like, wow, it's just shocking.
Statistically, he had a really strong performance this week, and there's a lot of things that kind of point to that, and I'll kind of run through it. But by the numbers, he was off the tee 18th in the tournament for strokes gained. But statistically,
this is Scotty.
Yeah, Scotty Scheffler. So he hit 53% of fairways, which isn't that big of a deal out there, but because the rough's not that penalizing, right? But at the same time, those are some pretty big fairways out there. And so, and some of those are misses on purpose, like maybe he would try to go for the green and stuff like that, and he's in the rough on the green side or whatever. But that's, you know, some nuance there. But still, you know,
And the first two rounds, the wind was fairly severe. Oh, yeah. So,
but overall, though, you know, he was really good at greens and regulation. So he was at 77%, and he was third for the week in greens and reg. And so when you're hitting that many greens, you can convert quite a bit. So turns out he was number one in strokes gained tee to green. And then you combine that with his putting, and his putting was great. Strokes gained putting, he was 13th in the tournament. And so when you're first in strokes gained tee to green, and then you're 13th on putting, that equates to a win. And that, it's, I feel like it's harder to get a solid strokes gained when you're hitting a lot of greens.
Right.
And then from a conversion standpoint, this is the most impressive, 14 of 16 up and downs. Number one.
Like I said, he's just ice with the putter. And his up and down on 16.
Yeah.
Like whether or not he gets a drop away from the grandstand. And this is where, you know, some balls are going to roll into there. Like, you, why don't you push the grandstand like 5 feet back right there? Even if it was like 3 or 4 feet, because it's not going to kick into that necessarily, right? It's going to get on there. It's going to roll down, and it's just barely going to get into rough like his did. So I don't know that one. And then he drops twice and hops forward. Mm-hmm. So then he gets it hops back. So it still interferes. So then he gets to place it. And then, I mean, he still knocks it 18 feet, 20 feet by.
Yeah.
And just absolutely just drips it over the front edge, dead center. So, I mean, he makes that. And then Nick Taylor misses his, like, 8-footer for par.
Yep.
So it totally just flips it. You know, you're looking at, oh, there's a possibility of they've been being tied going into the final two holes. Instead, Scotty has a 2-shot lead going into the final two holes. And then makes birdie on 17, and Nick Taylor gets one of the worst lip outs in recent memory on his putt on 17. And then it was just over from there because it didn't really matter. Nick Taylor does birdie it, but obviously with the 3-shot lead, that's not a big deal on that.
No, but I mean, it's most impressive to see what he did. The putter was just out of control. That's how I feel about it. But
he was
good.
He was good. Always good.
But you saw the tournament. You saw the action. You saw the shenanigans. What's your take on the WM Open?
I am fine with it. I think, like I said, I don't think that every single tournament should do this, but I don't mind the PGA Tour letting something. But I guarantee you, and I talked about this with a couple of my players on Sunday, I'm like, it probably, the guys in the front office in the PGA Tour cringe at this tournament. Just absolutely But I think, like I said, I don't think you want every tournament to be the waste management, but it has its place, right? It kind of breaks from the mold, right? That, oh, it's just stuffy, you know, stuffy golf, and we have to be proper and, you know, be reverent all the time. And I mean, I think, like I said, I think it has its place, but it, like I said, I don't necessarily think they need more of this, but I think they can let the waste management be what it is.
Yeah. At first, you know, a couple of years ago, I was like, yeah, it's great. It's fine. Whatever. But like it keeps escalating. Right. And so now you get hooligans and shenanigans occurring, and it's just let's do what we did last year, but more. And so you get these people that attend and they're like, oh, let's do a beer bong, or let's drop beers from three rows up. Now it's seven rows up. Let's do it's just constant like garbage occurring, basically, when it could be, I don't know, you know, people actually there to enjoy the golf, but they're not there to enjoy the golf. They're there to enjoy the ambience of the party.
But that's on, I guess it's, and it's kind of teetered over in the 15 slightly, but not even that bad. It's one hole. The rest of the tournament's as is, right? Weston needs to go. He needs to show up at 9 o'clock, so he's not with all the hooligans. Run again. Go sit on hole number 7.
Yeah, I know. Get off my lawn. But it's like, here's the deal, though. Like, what we don't see on the telecast that we do see on social media is every other post is somebody falling over, just totally crap-faced, and they're passed out next to a trash can on the ground, face down in the dirt. Or you've got a half-naked dude swimming laps, just trying to avoid the cops because he's streaked on 16 green. And so, this is where we've escalated to. And I'm just like, it's almost
we're just catching up with baseball and football and soccer, all those other sports. We need our, you know, we need a streaker here, there. It's not the first time. Hey, shirtless booby woman at the British Open. Come on.
Hey,
that's the most proper. That's the most proper tournament in the land. Come on.
England has a long history
of running out and hugging.
The streaking in England is like culturally accepted because of. But.
Did they hug? Was it John Daly or Greg Norman? Is one of those two?
John Daly.
Yes. John Daly.
That was, and it's not that they want the excitement of that. Anybody that does that obviously wants to get just the glory or their 15 minutes of fame. And for me, it's like I'm turning into Shooter McGavin, basically. But you know what? that's the stance I'm gonna take. maybe fine, it's once, but to me, like the majesty of what the Masters does to me is what golf is all about. And I'll just leave it at that.
They both have their place.
Yeah.
No, but it's contained to one hole, but that one hole is debauchery. You are correct.
I'm pretty sure Shooter McGavin told us what their place was, and it was the shanties. I'm all for players maybe bringing a little bit of spice. Like I love some of the peoples like the Tyrrell Hattons or the Beef or, you know, other players that kind of add a little flavor to the game. Not so much concerned in what the fans add to the game. So,
yeah, it's like I said, fans are going to go overboard. You give them that opportunity, they're gonna run with it in time.
Yeah, they gave them an inch and they took 10 miles.
yes. I would say there are some because Golf Channel has embraced it because they have announced, or whoever's broadcasting it, because they have Colt Nost and why am I drawing a blank on her name? Amanda is not Valionis anymore.
It's not?
Yeah. And no, she's married.
So it's a new last name, but it's her.
It's a new, But they have them just like in chairs on the 16th tee. So they've embraced it a little bit. So like I said, it has its place and its place is in Phoenix. But
moving on.
Other than that, going to somebody who's actually has Utah ties, but in more than one way now, Mr. Eldrick Tiger Woods.
Hey.
Set to play this weekend. Well, sorry, this week, this Thursday and Friday, in my opinion.
You're saying no? I'll take that.
We're taking that.
It's a $1 bet.
Now, let's do just, well, I don't know if you drink soda anymore. You've been so good on your
eating. We'll do a drink. Do you need a swig? We'll do it for a swig.
There we go. Thirst, my daughter works at Thirst, so we got to.
Oh, there we go. Got to represent the brand.
Yeah. We'll put that on. I think he's going to not make the cut at Riviera, but he will be playing in the Genesis Open at Riviera for the first time. He announced that just after his other big announcement. Well, I don't know if it's a big announcement for him.
It's big.
It's a big one for Utah. Utah is getting its first Tiger Woods design group course, and it's his first mountain design it will be over 8,000 yards. And his thing was, I wanted something that was accessible and playable for all, and people just like lit up that statement. You can't post over 8,000 yard course and be like, this is acceptable for all. They've got to have 15 tees on that course.
They've got it. And it does look like they
have a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a ton of tees. And frankly, everybody that does play it and becomes a member should probably be playing the red tees, given the circumstance.
They should be playing 4 tees up. At least.
It's pretty crazy when you think about it. Now, granted, you do the math, and this is what the math is. Just remember, if you watched the World Golf Championship tournament in Mexico, Mexico City is a high elevation. And so you had guys like DJ with a driving iron hitting at 300 yards. So keep that in mind. Turns out the elevation of Marcella, the new Tiger Woods course, is also the same elevation as Mexico. So you're going to see some balls flying for sure. They're going to go far for sure. And so I'd say take off 13%. That's a pretty safe calculation on the altitude adjustment to sea level. Granted, not only that, it's not just thinner air, but it's also warmer air, because you're going to be playing it during the summer, and it's high desert. So consider those factors. You may even get 15%. And so 8,000 minus, we'll do the conservative 13%. And we're looking at a total yardage of, calculator, 13%. So it's going to play about 7,000 yards. So
7,072. Still not sure. I mean, not necessarily sure, but.
Oh, it'll test you. It'll definitely test you. But see, that's not accounting for like elevation changes, right? So if there is a tee box that goes downhill, you get a little extra. If you got a hole that goes uphill, man, that ball does not fly very far on uphill holes. So
yeah,
it can shorten up pretty quick. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see the layout. It does look beautiful. I know the location. I've been up there. It should be a nice property for sure.
Like, you've seen the property that is going on, or you've just been in that area?
I've been in the area, but I'm looking at the map as well. I believe this should follow a more Lynx style course. I actually see two holes sharing a fairway. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be good. Like I said, I don't think I've ever played a Tiger Design course, but I know there's a couple of them that people have really liked. So I think, like I said, it'll be done right. I don't think he'll like die in Nicholas the course, like the Promontory Club that will be nearby. It's gotta be, and I don't know. I'm just trying to think, wrap my head around exactly where it's at. I'm sure I could pull it up, but because it's gonna be by Jordanelle.
Yeah, so there's if you're in Heber and you're going to go up to Park City, and I can't remember what road that is. It's like the 40 or something, but
yeah,
it's a 40. If you're about ready to go up the 40 and you can squirt off to the right before Jordanelle and get back up there, and that's the area.
So, yeah, so it'll be interesting. Like I said, I don't think he'll trick up the greens like a few of those courses up there that are just dumb, just because I don't think that's his style necessarily. But it will be interesting.
Yeah. If he makes it playable but challenging, I think that's a fantastic feat in its own right. Because it's what we've found out is it's really easy to mess it up.
So there's that. Like I said, we've got a swig bet. I just don't think he could prove me wrong. He's just squeezed by and a lot of other ones.
He's but. Tiger, man. That's kind of why I'm taking the bet. Now, granted, it is against the odds because he's never really played that good at Riviera. But
which is funny because it's not his. Genesis is his sponsor, I believe. So that's another reason he's probably doing it as well, because he can't miss it in like 4 years in a row.
Yeah, probably. That's a good take. Tiger required. Contractually, it says you have to play it 10 times in this, you know, probably. Yeah. I think you're spot on.
So that's got to be something to do with it. And it creates a huge buzz. Like the Rivs or the tournament directors are like, awesome. We just sold 10 times more tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Our viewership's going to be up. We love this. But yeah, so like I said, we'll see how he plays. Riviera is definitely a fun course to watch the tournament at, because it does have some very unique holes there that are challenging.
Yeah.
But going to that, and then you put up a few things that are interesting. The first being, you read it, so I'll let you talk about Anna Nordqvist.
Yeah.
For getting her feelings hurt.
Yeah, essentially that. So Anna Nordqvist, three-time winner on the LPGA Tour, drops the Saudi Arabian oil sponsor, Aramco. I think she'd been with them for at least a year or more. That I can't remember. But needless to say, mid-contract, she decides to drop them. And her statement, per her words, she did not express second thoughts regarding the moral and ethical issues of the relationship. Rather, Nordqvist revealed that she wasn't prepared to receive the incredible amount of hatred and mean comments from people who don't even know her. So that's pretty interesting, you know. So we talk about, you know, she felt like there was no moral or ethical issue with it, but other people did. Yeah. And they expressed their concerns and hatred, and the mob, you know, whoever decided to, flipped out about it. Yeah. And this is,
and you know what she should have done? Big middle finger.
Well, and yeah, rightfully so, and maybe not, whatever, but it's like you're basically seeing an example of the mob causing somebody to do something that they may not have done. Now it's not our place or her or, you know, other people's places to claim what's actually there. Like we went through this exercise. You can tie back every major company in America back to some kind of shady business, atrocity, slave labor, like the list goes on and on and on. And here we have another company who's probably no better than the ones we're very familiar with, the, you know, the Apples and the AT&Ts. And here we have, you know, Jordan Spieth sleeps good at night when he's sponsored by AT&T. And so what's going on here, right?
Like I said, it's the whole cancer culture thing. But I don't even know that people were asking from her statement. It doesn't sound like anybody was like, people weren't asking her to drop her sponsor. They were just saying mean things to her.
I don't get that.
And it's like, okay. And, you know, my guess is these people who are doing this, for one, drive a car, use a product that is used, that is made with petroleum, right? So, or some way associated with the company that is funded some way by companies just like this.
It's such a joke.
They're just people need something to complain about and to take that out on. But
yeah, they wrote some hate tweets on their iPhones where they sourced rare minerals in Africa, like cobalt and lithium, and extorted the people there to get that at a very cost-effective rate so you could buy your $1,000 phone. And by the way, when you plug it in to charge it, you know, majority of that electricity is coming from coal power. So good job on your carbon emission increase for charging your phone with coal power and tweeting out your anger. So congratulations.
Yep, they're fantastic. it's sad to see. But on a lighter note, in 2 days, the official drop of the Netflix series PGA Tour Full Swing. I mean, could have come up with a better name than this, right?
Full Swing? Yeah. That's fine.
It's fine. There's not much you can do with that.
It's not groundbreaking. It's
no.
It's fine.
Oh,
but I'm interested to hear your take. I actually stopped subscribing to Netflix, so I'm interested to see what you think.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know. Like I said, I'm interested to watch it. It's got an extra little piece of flavor because it does include, I think, a few people that are no longer members of the PGA Tour. So it'll be interesting just to see kind of how they are and who actually like is more authentic than others.
Yeah.
You know, there's some guys that are just like, well, got a camera on me, so gotta watch what I do.
Yeah, people act a little bit different. And being that I was a person on a reality TV show, I can assure you that many of the situations are not real.
What?
Yeah, it's very much quite planned, fabricated, whatever you want to call it. It is that, and there's no getting around it.
Yeah, like I said, it'll be interesting to see how it's done. I know Spieth's on there, Koepka is on there. Who else? Is Ian Poulter part of it?
Yeah, isn't Justin Thomas in there?
Maybe Justin Thomas is. Speaking of Justin Thomas, did you see when he hit his ball in the water?
No, I missed that.
So it was he is one of us meme.
Oh, that I saw. Never mind. I did see that.
Where he goes, sit, F you.
Yeah, this is great. Can you imagine the director? And like the FCC issues, but he sees this opportunity where it's a star player. He's talking to the ball and he's like, oh, dude, we got to get on this, mic it up. And then he's like, oh crap. He just dropped an clear F-bomb. It was just so typical. So typical.
Yeah. Sorry. You said Justin Thomas and I just, that video popped into my head.
Oh yeah.
But we were talking about Rom earlier.
Ramekins.
I don't know if he's on it. Ramekins. Ramekin is a $40 million man.
Yes, he is. Congratulations, Rom. I'm increasing your wealthiness.
Although that's he is. But it's bad. It's bad to make money from what I understand. Wait, is it bad to make money?
No, it's good to make money.
I think it's good to make money. People try to tell you that it's bad to make money. Because then they're greedy. But I will say this, and it blew me away because we were listening to or watching and listening to the end of the WM, Nick Taylor for solo second.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have it pulled up. Do you know what he took home?
I want to guess, like, what, 1.8?
Just over two. Just over two. $2 million
for second place.
But I believe that the WM is an elevated event. which is wow. Right. So now all of a sudden you're getting the winner of the WM Phoenix Open, probably taking home 2.5, 2.6. And second place taking home 2 million.
Wow.
And that's then you win solid. The tournament and you win $1 million. 2 million, in fact. But yeah, I was flabbergasted.
Yeah, most and impressive.
Because usually it's they go 1.8 and then it goes down pretty severely, right? But it's obviously an elevated event. So they just paying out the cash. That's probably why they let people drink more beers.
Oh, of course.
They need the revenue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
So, no, it's... hey, they're probably selling more tickets than they ever did. And the sponsors are just laughing to the bank. And probably where they could kick up a little bit extra. So, good for them.
Yeah, they don't mind it so much. But I'll let you go into next. We've got Tech Talk.
Yeah, we've got some cool stuff. Okay. So
it's more just club chat is probably better.
So we got some fun stuff. So McGregor Golf, as you know, just disappeared.
Yes.
And for a hot second, they were just, on the edge. They disappeared. And then somebody bought the rights to sell McGregor in the UK. And they continue to make basically these all-in-one sets, the stuff you'd find at Dick's Sporting Goods, stuff like that. But it's all UK-based. Then this investment guy who just has money to burn, he bought the rights to a few different names that were owned by Golfworks. But at the time... Golfworks owned them, but then they went bankrupt, and I think somebody else bought them. I think it's like Dick's or something. But he bought Ram, Zebra, and Teardrop, and then the final part to that acquisition was McGregor. So he bought McGregor and the rights to sell it in the United States, which is pretty crazy. And not only did he do that, it would have been easy to just pick up some generalized iron design made in Asia, stamp McGregor on there and say, hey, McGregor's back. And honestly, I thought that's what they did, but that is not the case. They, the owner, he actually hired a very talented golf club engineer that was transitioning between Callaway to Titleist. And in that little moonlight, he got him to design these new McGregor MT irons. And I think the guy is now, I forget his name, but he's now the lead designer for golf club design under Scotty Cameron. So this guy's super duper talented. And he is the one who they basically said, go nuts, design a great golf club. And he designed these McGregor MT irons. So when it comes to the technology, where the CGs are placed, each golf club is designed individually with specific CG properties to have optimal performance throughout the entire set. So what a way to make a comeback.
It's there, and like I said, they've made some great irons, and if they can get back to that same level,
yeah,
then let's go. Right?
Yeah, I'm excited for him because it could have just been them making blades again, which would have been really cool, but
right.
It wouldn't have been what was right for the company. You need to make an iron that's going to compete with your TaylorMade P790s, your Callaway Apex irons, your Titleist T200. Those are the types of things that people are actually playing. So the fact they went out to invest a ton of money in this iron design for the masses is really the smart business play, and I think they're going to do well with it, to be honest, especially with how well the design is created. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Like I said, and if they do good, I mean, they could be, you've got a company like Wilson who's making pretty good stuff. But I think if McGregor did it right, they could maybe take that market away. But I don't know.
Who knows?
Could be good, or it could just be, it could be not as good, right? It's just, you've got the couple of companies that just kind of have a stranglehold on it because of how they do marketing wise and such.
But, yeah, I'd say that's, there's a lot of competition out there. So
the question is can they get some of the design patents to some of the older stuff and recreate
that's possible. So it just depends on what IP was there when they bought it, and you know, what's readily available, what's accessible. Did they have to do something different? And I think there's a lot of wiggle room in this space. So
good. Exciting. It's good to see the name of McGregor back in to it, because you're right, they were an elite brand and then they turned into kind of a, I don't want to say this, it's not, but kind of a Kmart brand there for a little bit,
because
they, with their, what they did with their design stuff, it went in a wrong direction, in my opinion.
For sure.
How they did it. But now if they can get them back to that, it'll be a very good, very good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think they're doing it right, doing it small. And I think they're going to go about it the right way. I think Tour Player on the Champions Tour already put the irons in his bag, started playing with them. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Oh, what else on the docket? Is there anything else new?
I saw some interesting stuff with Odyssey. You know, we've been trained by marketing to tell us that a putter with a lot of weight in the back is a more stable putter. And if you consider how like a TaylorMade Spider putter is designed, there's a lot of weight in the back, and there's people on tour that are having success putting with it. I think even Rory McIlroy is using one right now. But we've kind of always been under this impression, it's always weight back, weight back, weight back. But Odyssey has released their White Hot 5K putters. If you go check it out online, these are opposite of weight back. They've done everything they can to move the weight forward, which is kind of contradictory to what we've known.
Right. Other companies have tried to move that weight back to improve stability, was my understanding. So,
well, it's interesting because you're getting more weight towards the face, which also means you're getting more weight near the axis of the putter. And the more weight you get away from the axis of the putter, whether that's creating more stability or not, it's a unique offering that may be good for some strokes, may not be good for others. But it's really neat to see Odyssey go the complete opposite way. And what I think is interesting is they're making mallets with weight properties like a blade putter. So wrap your head around that. Because a mallet is typically one that you do put the weight back, but they're pushing the weight forward to give it the blade properties. And so And now I don't know the research they've gone into, but I can assure you Odyssey goes to great lengths when they're designing putters to provide putters that do a more optimal results, more consistent results. And the technology that they have put in their putters to do that is pretty insane, considering what they did with Stroke Lab and how they were able to, you know, design their shafts in a certain way. It doesn't mess up the swing weight, but also doesn't give you like a 400 gram putter head and things like that. So they've done some really neat things, and for them to make a big product release like this with Weight Forward, they probably did some really interesting testing and they found some benefited results out of that. Otherwise you don't release a 10 putter line like that.
This is true. Although they, I mean, just so you know, this is the same company that did the ugly toe up putter.
Oh yeah, well. Oh they do it all.
They definitely failed at some things, but this one doesn't seem like a big jump like the toe up.
No. So I just think it's interesting. And as you're looking for putters and as you're looking to improve things in your game, just know that it's not a, you know, secret recipe for everybody. Some people are going to benefit from a blade style putter. Some people are going to benefit from a mallet. Some are going to prefer, you know, a more forward CG. Some are going to prefer a more back. So it's just get on a Quintec, find out what works best.
Yeah, I mean, you got to try it out. Like I said, it's, you said it best, right? It's, you've got to do the testing what works for you. And this last week, like I said, I've made the switch to a blade style putter.
Yeah.
Thanks to you. Really. But the putter grip that I had ordered in wasn't in yet, so I threw a Super Stroke on the putter that I want to use. I played that for a couple of days and I thought it was there, but then I played the other putter.
Yeah.
With the Garson grip.
Yep.
On it. And I was like, yeah. As soon as I can, the Super Stroke's coming off.
That grip matters, it's, for sure.
It's definitely, like I said, and I'm like, oh, it's not that much different, but it's definitely different enough that it's affecting the stroke slightly, right? I didn't putt horribly with the Super Stroke, but I just definitely felt more consistent with the Garson grip.
Yeah. So. No, I'm a big proponent of finding the right grip, and I think there are certain grips for certain putters, and I kind of get into it, but millimeters count in that scenario. It really matters. So
it does for sure. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays.
Yep.
I don't know which is best, forward or back.
Hey, if forward is right, then it just kind of, it's funny that all these old putters may have been the best for us anyways, and we didn't know that until we tried messing around with it. Right. Because if you get a ping answer, guess what? That weight's forward. There's no if, ands, or buts about it.
Like I said, it'll be interesting to see. Well, you think it would have been something they would have tried much sooner than this.
Yeah.
And some of that is like, I get trying to stabilize the putting stroke. Obviously, you want a stable putting stroke. when you're playing golf, but does it improve it enough that it's enough of a benefit for your average player that something like what they said that they can improve this? I just read the little, their little blurb on their website about it. It improved the CG and then the inertia, right? So does the effects of getting more solid contact to a ball, is the stable or the stability factor, is that enough to override whatever they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Time will tell. We see it winning a whole bunch on tour or selling pretty well.
Yeah, we'll see.
And we know it works.
Yeah.
So. The big thing will be how many of the tour pros switch over to it.
That'll be an interesting one for sure. But yeah, new technology, go check it out. See if you like it. But
right for you.
We've got a what's in the bag from Mr. Scotty Scheffler. Update, you know, we did talk about Rory's bag last week and how he went to Vokey wedges. And it was revealed that when he re-upped with TaylorMade, they offered a more lenient contract with some options so that he could tinker. So he didn't break contract. He just...
Well, no, and I didn't think he did, but we talked about it and we thought that maybe that's why he added in. Because he added in something that he didn't usually have in the TaylorMade. Maybe it was a driving iron or hybrid. I can't remember what it was. But I thought he added something that he wasn't playing previously.
Yeah.
But when I go, maybe he took those out and put this in or whatever. But I don't know. I'm just a guy talking about golf. So,
well, speaking of golf clubs in the bag and switching things up, Scotty Scheffler has definitely changed up some things this year in the clubs. So as we go from the top with what's in the bag, we've got the new TaylorMade Stealth 2 Plus driver, which I think is this not the first win for the Stealth 2? Or was there another win?
Because
Rory took the Stealth 2 out and he put the Stealth back in the bag.
Yeah, because he had a regular Stealth in there in the bag during his win. We know Rom not playing TaylorMade.
Shoffley, he's on Cali.
He's a Cali way guy. I don't know that there has been since the Stealth 2's come out. I think this might be the first win with the Stealth 2. It's maiden win.
Maiden victory. So it works, guys. We needed a tour victory to confirm it, but it works. He's pretty stable in regards to his shaft makeup. He does have a Stealth 3 wood. He went with the bonded hosel version, and he's got that at 15 degrees. And
this looks like it is also a Stealth 2.
Yep, that's also Stealth 2. So there's two golf clubs he switched up, and he's got the Srixon ZU85 3 and 4 irons in the bag. And
that doesn't change.
Yeah. And then he's got the TaylorMade P7 T-dubs 5 through pitching wedge. So it's such a...
And that is not a change.
No, he's been playing those longer than Tiger has.
I think we discussed this at one point in one of our podcasts. That is correct, right? He got them somehow before Tiger did.
Yeah.
But I I guess it's a different one. He's still playing the Tour Issue. I just saw the Modus Hybrid prototype 10X, yeah. But that's in the 3 and 4 iron.
Yeah. So I think it's such a unique juxtaposition where you've got a guy who's rocking some of the purest blades that you can play, and then he's got these very forgiving 3 and 4 iron. Like, it's, you'd think he'd go like CB or something, but instead it's a highly technologically forgiving golf club.
Yes, it is. But they still look really good. And it's not that they're necessarily hot, right? They just have done some things to allow you to play a higher trajectory with those yeah. longer irons.
Totally. But then driving into the wedges, we've got the 50-degree 12F in SM8 and 56-14F in SM8. And then he's got the Vokey Wedgeworks Proto 6006 low bounce K. And they look gorgeous. They play gorgeous. Great wedge for dry and firm location like Arizona, where you got to pick it off some of that Bermuda or rye.
Yes. Good wedge. And then his putter.
Ah, yes.
Just clean and simple. And so I'm going to ask you this, because I took your poll.
Ah.
What was the consensus on, are they branded too much?
Oh,
because it was Scotty, just kind of simple. All I had was Scotty.
So
in the back, and that's pretty much it on his putter, if I'm not mistaken.
So, great question. When it came to this story, so I posted it. Less is tour, which is a play on the simple phrase "less is more," right?
Right.
And Scotty posted this beautiful, you know, his tour type Cameron Newport 2 in GSS. And this one actually got a lot of visibility. I was surprised. So 2,400 people took a look at this, and I got well over 400 votes on this. And 86% agreed that the mainstream putter brands are overly branded. An astounding 86. And now I've got a bunch of equipment junkies, you know, that participated in that. And that's still like 400 votes of people saying that putters are overly, it was a lopsided victory. I mean, imagine that, 86%. So about 50 people voted, it's fine. And then 350 people voted, nope, way too much. And so that said, I think putter makers out there could take note and just dial it back a little bit. Let's not get like Ricky Bobby NASCAR, where you're putting your advertisements all over the windshield and you can't even see out the front. How about you just let the putter do the talking?
That should be your next stamping. It should be shake and bake.
Shake and bake. but yeah, what's cool about this putter is this one is GSS. And so there's that. But the shape itself is very much a Special Select Newport 2. So to this day, I haven't seen a retail putter so closely tied to the shape of the Tour Issue 1, with the exception of the Special Select and now the Super Select line. The Special Select looks very, very similar. There may be some minute differences, but they're pretty hard to see.
For sure. But yeah, like I said, it's a classic putter in his bag. Clean, simple, and it works.
It worked really well. I'll tell you what, man, that guy couldn't miss, period. So, hot stuff.
He was definitely dialed.
Yeah.
For sure. But next week, it'll be, well, we'll definitely talk about Tiger, like I said. Sometimes I get indifferent about his coverage. Sometimes it's too much. He still turns the dial, so it's justified for the most part. But I will be happy when he misses the cut and I get a drink out of it. So just looking at for myself.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see who's drinking that dirty Diet Coke.
Now, like I said, if he makes the cut, it's a huge story. But the but on that is then all of a sudden, if he barely makes the cut and stays at the bottom of that, the hoops that the broadcast networks have to go through to televise every single shot of his. It's a logistical nightmare.
It's going to be real. He'll be, you know, look, I think he's going to make the cut, but I don't think he's going to crack the top 50. And that's just my personal opinion. But I think he's going to make it. But you can't be showing the guy that's in 55th position every shot in the telecast. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it, oh, you drove the ball great. Awesome. But what place were you? Dead last? Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah. There's only one guy who can justify that right now.
Yeah, only one.
Yeah, it's the guy who's given the PIP every year.
Exactly.
But I think that's all for this week.
Yep.
Folks, hopefully. Well, should be back in the home studio next week.
Nice.
So cleaner audio for sure.
Yeah, a little bit better, but not too bad.
Content's always good, but it'll be cleaner audio. And yeah, we do appreciate you listening, as always. And until next time, we are out.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.